41% profit margins. Sounds good, right? That's exactly what the ad girls have been able to drive with a results-oriented workplace and corresponding compensation model within their digital marketing agency. Today's guest, Courtney Tarrant, owner and COO of the ad girls, even shares that when they went away from this model for a short period, profit margins shrank closer to typical industry norms. In today's episode, you'll hear from Courtney how they structure a results-oriented workplace within their agency, how they've implemented a variable pay structure that's different from anything I've heard any agencies doing, and how to tell if this model is right for your agency. Hint, it has to do with the culture and the personality types you attract and ultimately hire within your agency. In the second half of this conversation, Courtney even lays out a unique hiring process and paid project plan that helps them avoid hiring the wrong team members when 40 to 50% of candidates actually self-select out of the process. To start, we'll hear from Courtney about when she was first introduced to this concept of a results-oriented workplace.
I think part of the reason that I've designed my agency this way is because my introduction to a results-only work environment started when I was an intern still in college. I had gotten this internship, and when I got there, they were like, okay, we work pretty differently here. And they handed me a book about results-only work environment, and I read it, and it just was the only way that work really made sense to me. And the whole premise is just that your performance is judged entirely on the results that you create, not any of the other stuff. So it doesn't matter if a meeting isn't useful, you don't go to that meeting. If you work better at home, work at home. If you work better in the middle of the night, work in the middle of the night. It's actually about you creating results and focusing on the results that you're creating in order to drive the business forward. In a way, I think that it actually ruined me for the rest of my career because I found myself to be very unsuccessful trying to work a traditional 9-to-5 after that.
Yeah. So they handed you this and they're like, hey, just so you know, we work differently here. And you read it and you were like, makes sense to me. Like, what's weird here?
Exactly. Exactly. There was even, I remember calling my mom at one point as I was reading this book, and I was like, Mom, this book is saying the same thing over and over again. It's just saying that it's about results. And she's like, yeah, because most people that are reading it have like 20 years of corporate training to be like, it's not about the results. It's about, you know, FaceTime and like your butt in the seat and like all these things. And she was like, they're trying to teach people that are unlearning stuff, but you're not unlearning anything. So it makes sense that it feels repetitive to you. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to get into how this has changed the way that you've built agencies since you've progressed in your career. But you said something there. I want to make sure we don't just blaze right past. You were like, it ruined you for 9-to-5. And there were some, you know, stops in your career that weren't necessarily successful. Like, what did that look like trying to bring a results only approach to workplaces that weren't that way?
I mean, it was not successful. That's the very first thing. I think that along my journey, I launched my agency in 2015, and I had a brief stint in there where I was like, you know what? Maybe this isn't for me. And I went back into sort of the workforce. It was still very much aligned with like marketing strategist and director of marketing and like a few of those types of things. But I couldn't like turn off that entrepreneur part, which, as we know, entrepreneurs can be very successful. But if you try to like put us into a box, like it's like we just like tear out. We can't do it. And so when I was trying to be in these other work structures and I was like, look at all of the work that I'm doing, look at how productive I'm being, it was so hard for the people that were above me to look at my work and not be like, well, this isn't the way that we would do it. And I was just like so unavailable. And that has persisted throughout my entire career, but I was so unavailable to follow the way that they did it just because that's how they did it. And I think that we get so, as like people, we get so entrenched in the idea of this is the way that we do it instead of really focusing on this is what needs to be done. And that shift for me is what led me ultimately back to entrepreneurship and made me realize that this is the spot for me for sure.
I love what you're saying there. And it reminds me, Courtney, of this like internet meme or story or like urban legend. I forget where it came from, but like this story of this family where they always make a holiday ham and they would cut the top off of it or cut the end off the ham. And then eventually one year around Christmas or whatever it was, they're like, why do we do this? Oh, that's why my mom did it and grandma did it. And then grandma actually steps up and says, well, we did that because our oven was too small for a, you you know, 20-pound ham. And here they are thinking that this is the way we do it. There's a reason for it. And they never questioned the reason or the method. And they're actually continuing to do something that they didn't need to do. And actually it was wasting food in this story.
Right. It was, well, waste food, but it also, I think it like squashes innovation. It squashes our ability to be creative. And especially when you're inside of like a field that's as constantly changing as digital marketing, you have to actually innovate and create and recreate all of the time. And so I think that is like such an important piece of what I wanted to make sure that we brought into our culture.
I love that. So tell me a little bit, fast forwarding in your career journey, Courtney, you've now founded multiple agencies. You partnered up with someone who I believe at one point was a semi-competitor. You guys run the Ad Girls now. What is a results oriented workplace look like for your agency? What are the components? What things are different? And then we'll get into kind of some pitfalls, ways to actually execute it, but set the stage for us. What do things look like? Paint the picture for us today.
The way that our agency is structured is, again, we focus on results that we're creating for our clients, and we focus on like ultimately the deliverables that we have inside of any one project. So we have the Ad Girls, which is a Facebook and Instagram advertising agency. And inside of each position, we have very specific OKRs, objective key results, and KPIs, key performance indicators for every position. And we talk to each person about what their OKRs and their KPIs are. And we make sure that they are clear that, you know, part of that for us, for example, is retaining 75% of your clients, right? Like there's so many pieces that go into that. And we do a deep dive as to like what we think that that looks like. But that is what our account managers know that they are responsible for at the end of the day, right? So that's what we're reporting on. That's what we're checking in on every week. We do on track, off track to retaining 75% of your clients. What does that look like? And if for any reason we dip below that, where is that coming from? So it's like a deeper dive into data, but it's all focused around one central like result or one central goal that we have as the agency. We structure our pay so that each account manager and member of our team is paid based on the accounts that they're managing rather than their hours or like a salary more traditionally. So their income can adjust from month to month, but we have a really specific way that we bring on and train team members so that they are going from like a level one into a level two. And so they start part-time and then they get to rotate up into full-time, which really for us has attracted very entrepreneurial talent. It's an agency, but a lot of the people that are working for our agencies are people who have maybe tried to start their own agency at some point in time. And we're like, I don't want to deal with like the headache part of running, because we all know it's a lot. So they've maybe tried to start an agency and decided that wasn't for them, or they want more flexibility in their life. That is the biggest thing that we hear people say is like, oh, I tried going to this agency and they said it was flexible, but it's not really. And so we give them the freedom of flexibility. And with that, their income can change month to month, which protects our profit margins. Luckily, we don't have an issue with sales. So everybody's pretty well booked up, but we work together. If for any reason we're like, hey guys, we're low on sales this month, like we work together as a team to figure out like what are some things that we could do to attract new clients. And it's like, it's just a very collaborative culture. It's a really transparent culture. And inside of, I talked earlier about like not attending meetings. We're not the most hardcore results only work environment, because we do have some meetings that are mandatory. We have one mandatory meeting every single week with our whole team at the beginning of the week. And then beyond that, we just have communication expectations. So our working hours are 10 to 6 Eastern Standard Time, right? We have people that work all over the globe. So we have people in Central America, people in Europe, we have people everywhere. And our only requirement is not even that you get your work done during those hours. It's just actually that you respond and are like communicative during those hours. So we have a 2-hour internal response time that we stick to. And then we actually have an externally facing 24-hour response time. But internally, we tell our team to respond to any emails or anything from clients within 4 hours. And as long as that's being done, if you want to go grocery shopping at 10 a.m. on a Tuesday, that's fine with me. I'm not here to structure the way that your day looks. I'm here to create amazing results and amazing experiences for our clients. So these are the key things that you need to accomplish in a day. Structure that however you would like, however makes the most sense for you. Meetings have to be held within normal meeting hours, and you have to hit our communication expectations. So it's very much like we have structure, but it's like within that structure, you can kind of feel free to play. So a lot of our team members are moms and they want to like pick up their kids from school. great. I don't have a problem with that. As long as you're getting your work done, you could do it early in the morning, late at night. Like it really doesn't matter to me. And I think having less possession over their time has led them to feel like they can stay. It's increased our retention, our profit margins, and so many other things. And so, yeah, it's been a beautiful, that's like a simple version of like what it is that we do, I guess.
There's so many aspects of that that I want to drill into. I think the talent acquisition and the talent retention piece is something that we'll come back to here in a second, because I imagine with this sort of culture, you've got to be very upfront in your recruiting. Otherwise, there's going to be misaligned expectations for those folks who maybe have other ways of working that they would need to unlearn. And by the time they unlearn them, you guys are parting ways and realizing it wasn't a good fit. I love what you said there, that it's actually helping you not only maintain your profit margins, but it's actually helping you retain top talent, which you would think variable income, maybe those things would be tougher. So that's interesting to me as well. I also like what you were saying there is that there's a lot of flexibility, but it's not unlimited flexibility. You kind of have like the minimum viable structure. You know, I'm not painting the lanes on the road for you, but I'm putting the guardrails so you don't just go driving off a cliff. And I think that balance probably makes a lot of sense. When you were starting to kind of paint the picture for your agency and what it looks like to be results oriented, Courtney, you were talking about the 75% retention mark being kind of the main objective that you guys are looking at on track, off track. Was there a time where there was a different metric? How did you guys come to that? Has that changed? Yeah. And have the KPIs that you track to determine if you're on track, off track, you know, on a weekly basis that ladder up to that, have those evolved and changed as well?
Yeah, they have. So we have tried tracking a lot of things inside of the agency overall. I think as entrepreneurs, like, especially with this model, I didn't invent this. Like I invented it, right? Like in a way, like results only work environment, I did not invent that. But like the way that this is structured for an agency is something that like I really pioneered. And so like, I don't have an example of how other people are doing this. I just have tried stuff and there have been a lot of things that didn't work. I remember at one point in time, we were actually tracking result or return on ad spend. So as an agency wide, we wanted to have a minimum, I think at the time it was like a 3 or 4x return on ad spend agency wide. And what we found is that it didn't track the right thing, right? Like actually there could be clients that had a 7x return on ad spend that still decided to leave. There could be clients with a 2x on an ad spend and they decided to stay. Like it depends so deeply on who that client is and what their goals are and what their objectives are. And so in that we did decide to abandon ship. And ultimately we did like several iterations of like, are there specific account KPIs? Is it about the number of meetings that we're having? Is it the client engagement level? We even tried to track that one time. It was like green, yellow, red, like how engaged is the client on the call? But really what it was all leading towards was the idea that like we want to be an agency that creates long-term partnerships, right? With our clients. Like it is hard, we all know, to onboard a client and like to onboard them and have to re-onboard. And it's so much work. And we do our best work when we have long-term partnerships. And so that was our goal. And looking at, you know, just historical data at the agency, we were like, what is a goal, you know, like retention rate? Where have we been? Where do we want to be? And so for now, the number has landed on 75%. We think that we're going to up it to 80. Like we're hitting 75% pretty consistently. So we want to like hit a stretch goal, right? Like we want to continue to refine that. But yeah, it's been an evolution of sorts to be like, what is actually the most important thing? Like, what is your most important job here as an account manager? What is my most important job here in order to support you? Like, what are we all looking at? And so that's where we landed.
Yeah. The KPIs that ladder up to that ultimate scorecard number, which right now you guys have tested and iterated to get there, and it is consistently evolving with input, is 75% retention. The KPIs that ladder up to that, are they the same across your account managers and your accounts, or is it account specific? Like these are the five things that we know with this type of account, we need to be tracking to tell if we're on track or off track, more or less with that 75% retention metric.
I would say there's like a lot of them. There's a lot of KPIs that we measure like weekly, monthly, quarterly, yearly, right? Like we look at things like client survey responses. We look at, you know, what is an account manager's overall rating from their clients that have responded to surveys? What is the like frequency or the I guess, is latency the right word, of like the response times of the clients our emails. We look at different like reporting metrics and what are they hitting and are they hitting their goals? And the goal, when we start diving into, are they hitting their goals? That's where it starts to really get more specific per client.
To the client. Yeah.
Yeah. Because we have clients that are in coaching, e-commerce and online courses, right? So it's quite a widespread. What we do is very specific, but the industries are quite widespread. So that data ends up becoming quite a bit more specific, because some clients just like, you know, come hell or high water, I want a certain amount of ROAS. And then other clients are like, actually, I want, you know, a certain number of leads, or I want this kind of sustainability, or I need that. Like every client is different. So that's where it starts to break off. But as far as like client care, I would say it's broken into like three categories: client care, and then of course, like ad performance and overall like status, like team collaboration, like is another one. So how are you engaging in team testing assignments? If we say run a test, like, are you doing that? Like, so we look at all of those pieces that we believe all ultimately lead to retention.
I love that. So I imagine there's a good bit of working with clients to understand their expectations and then starting to map out those client specific ones on a regular basis per client. One of the things that's interesting to me, Courtney, is you were talking a little bit earlier about this approach allows you guys to have more control and visibility and transparency throughout the whole team with your profitability. Like, what sort of results have you guys seen? Speak to that a little bit. And then maybe what is maybe intimidating, or what is holding other agencies back from adopting this sort of model if the results are, you know, what you guys have seen? So maybe speak to the results and then some of the caution or the hesitancy around this in the agency space.
Yeah, absolutely. So a little bit more about my backstory, right? I had my own agency. And then in 2021, beginning of 2021, my business partner and I, we sort of merged together. We were like direct competitors, actually. And I started a mastermind with her and a few other Facebook ad people. And we just like clicked, and we realized that we had opposite zones of genius. And where one of the areas where she really like struggled was operations and profit margins. And that just so happens to be my love language. And so I, inside of my business, have always maintained pretty significant profit margins of 35% or more. And she was really struggling. Like, one of her best years was, I think, the year before we actually joined our partnership, she had 21% profit margins. And so I came in and we really did change up the pay structure of how we pay ourselves, how we pay the team. What are they like? We just like really shored up our overall expenses. And with this model, we were able to scale our team with the accounts that we had. So that meant that we didn't have a $65,000 payroll unless we had, of course, the client work to back that up. And that led us to, in the first year, 2021, we jumped from 21 to 41% profit margins. So almost double. I was really disappointed that it wasn't exactly double, I have to admit.
It wasn't exactly 42. I get that.
It wasn't exactly 42. It was 41. But we did 41% profit margins, which for agencies, obviously, is like unheard of. It's like, how could you possibly? And the linchpin inside of all of it is this pay structure. If we can pay our account managers for the accounts that we have, that creates so much flexibility and freedom for us. And it also gives like freedom and flexibility to our account managers, right? There's that team retention piece that we found to be really beneficial and useful. And I'll say, in my career, I have worked with many, many consultants who have told me that this model will not work, that it is not a good idea, and that we shouldn't do it.
Why did they say that primarily? What reasons do they give you?
I think that it's just about what we know. Right? Like, I think in general, as human beings, we are comfortable with the things that we know. And these consultants were ones that I had hired for their expertise, and their expertise was not in something that didn't exist before now. So they were like, this is not a good idea. Like, you're not going to be able to retain, you know, the biggest thing that they said is that we couldn't find and retain top talent. So several of them were saying, you know, if you want to get top talent in your agency, you have to go with this traditional employee model. And so we did. In 2022, we were like, I guess this isn't the way people do it, you know, and like, we're gonna give it a shot and do it this other way. And I would say that the results were underwhelming at best for us specifically. We found that when we started to recruit employees, we were not finding people that were in alignment with the way that we work. This has become so ingrained in our culture. Like, I actually, not only do I not want to micromanage you, I can't. I don't know how to do that, actually. And so, like, I need you to be a self-starter. I need you to take accountability for your tasks in a day. And like, I will not check in on you every 5 hours to make sure that those things are done. And the people that we got when we were recruiting more of this like employee position were that kind of a fit. They had come from traditional agency structures. Our position is also more encompassing. So our position of account manager takes over client care and media buying in one. And so a lot of people hadn't done that before. They had either done client care or they had done media buying. And so finding people were telling us like, this is a unicorn that you're looking for. You're never going to be able to find this person. And inside of this traditional structure, we actually couldn't. They were right. That's like really true. So it was a pivotal moment. About halfway through the year last year, we had tried it for 4 or 5 months and we had lost 90% of the people that we had hired. Like, it was just like this churning effect of just, we could not land our culture. I think that's what people also forget to talk about sometimes when they're talking about how great something is. It's like all the struggle on the way to get there. And that was true for us. Like, we were not doing well inside of that structure. And so when we went back to a pay per account structure, we now have this very specific, cohesive, concise hiring process that not only weeds out the people that are not a good fit, which like we both know that pretty early on, but also like gives them an insight into what their job is going to be and like allows us to slowly but surely scale them up instead of bringing somebody on and giving them 7 accounts in order to make up for, you know, their salary, because we have to do that pretty quickly. We can slowly but surely move them up as they're ready. So we can also bring on people that have maybe a little bit, maybe they're not perfect. Maybe they've only managed $30,000 in spend and not $100,000, but like, we can actually train that because we can go slowly. We can give you 1 account and we can let you get really, really good at that account. And then we can give you 2 and then we can give you 3. And some of our best people and our people that at this time we've moved up into leadership are the people that went through that structure, are the people that went through that progress, that one of them, she's like a rock star now. She's honestly smarter than I am. But when she started, I remember being like, I might have to fire her. Like she doesn't know what's going on. And like, what am I going to do? And instead of firing her, I slowed down because I could afford to slow down on her accounts. I could afford to slow down my time. And I trained her personally on everything. And like I said, now she's like smarter than me. And it's amazing that I've been able to retain that talent because our approach is just so different. That is the biggest thing, is like our culture supports this. Our roles, the responsibilities of our roles supports this structure. And just like going cold turkey from one to the other is what we tried to do. And I think for anybody listening, if they're thinking about adopting something like this, what they might try to do is where there can be a lot of pitfalls, because you're not accounting for the things like what if, you know, your team member wants to just like actually do all of their work after hours. You can't check it. How much is that going to disrupt your process? And for us, like it was not a fit in that way. So I can speak about it from that angle. I can't 100% speak about it from the other way, because this is the only way I've ever done it. But yeah, I think that's where some of the struggle comes in, is that you do have a lot of things in your culture that you don't realize actually aren't focused on results. They're focused on time and seat, like, you know, maybe deliverables or other things that really are a mismatch for what we're trying to do.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason we're talking about results oriented or results only culture. It's not just an operational model. It has to be part of the culture. And you can't also just introduce the culture without an operational model that supports it. You get one with the other, or you need to, or it's not going to work. So you were saying something there, Courtney, about your hiring process and then also how you on-ramp employees. I think you were maybe alluding to something you mentioned earlier, like tier 1 or tier 2 or something like that. Tell me about that structure and take us in a little bit to that hiring process. You've mentioned to me before, you kind of start people with part-time work and kind of go from there. Take us through that a little bit more.
It has felt like my entire career. I've been trying to refine this hiring process, because as anybody knows, when you're trying to hire somebody that has a skill in an emerging industry, first of all, you're looking for somebody that is skilled. You're looking for somebody that is experienced, and you're looking for somebody that like actually wants to be there. Those three things have been hard to find inside of our industry because there are a lot of people that learned these skills because they wanted to start their own agency, right? And like that didn't work out for whatever reason. So this structure is the opportunity for people to actually work inside of an environment where it feels like it's like your own agency. You have more ownership than you do in other places, but you don't have to worry about like billing and sales and like whatever. Like you've just got the account work, a collaborative team, and like you guys are all working towards the same thing. Our hiring process for this has evolved, but now it's like a 5 or 6 step system. I'm not 100% sure. I can like give you a surface level overview of kind of our steps, but we start with the job posting on the sites, you know, LinkedIn, Indeed, like all the things. We review their applications. And then out of the applications that we get, the resumes and the applications, we identify usually like the top 10% of those and we ask them for a video. So we ask them to actually record a video answering 5 or 6 questions. And in that video, I can see so much. I can see how do they carry themselves? How do they answer the questions? Like, is it scripted? Like, what is it like, right? What are they like inside of those questions? And what is shocking to me is like 75% of the people that we request videos from don't respond or respond and say they'll get it to us and then miss their own self-imposed deadline. Just like this, we can't move forward if you're going to miss your own deadline. Or they do something like, don't answer all of the questions or like, you know, in the video, they get like a little bit wobbly. But once I get the videos back from them, my business partner and I, we watch them and we're like, okay, we want to interview this one. That one doesn't, you know, we've identified our top 5 questions in terms of experience and also like understanding the way your brain works. And so we identify that, then we invite them into an interview. And inside of that interview, I have all of my questions and I go through the whole thing. And based on the results of that interview, either they go into one of two phases. Sometimes we'll bring people in for another account audit. So I just like show them an account and I look at how does their brain work when they're looking at this account and auditing that information. If we're not sure, if we are sure, we actually send them into a 2-week paid training process. Week one is we have a video library of like, this is how we do things, media buying 101, like all of that kind of stuff. And then week two is actually a mock client onboarding. So then we like throw them into the fire, so to speak, but with a client that isn't real. So they can fail. They have permission to fail. And we do it. A normal onboarding is 2 to 3 weeks. We do that one in a week. So what I'm trying to create is an environment of intense pressure and an environment where you're going to fall and stumble. I'm not interested in you getting it 100% right, but I am interested in how are you going to handle it when you don't. And inside of that process, right, we're asking them to consume a lot of video content, which for some people can be overwhelming. Then we're asking them to do something that in their job, they probably wouldn't even normally regulate. They wouldn't ever onboard a client in a week in their normal job. And we're asking them to do all of this inside of the first 2 weeks. The number of people that haven't made it through this is about 40 to 50% don't make it through the training process, which is beautiful, right? Because they're actually, majority of them are self-selecting out. They're like, actually, this isn't what I thought. This isn't what I want. This isn't so cool. Great. I love that. Thank you so much for telling me. Here is your compensation for your training that, you know, this is basically a test project. And then finally, after that, they get put on one project. So this is where the level one and level two comes in. We don't want anyone on our team that has just one account. Cause that would be like, you know, we're an agency, 40 account managers manage 40 accounts. It'd just be way too much.
Yeah. And also for the individual, like how do they make that transition? Right. It's kind of awkward, kind of like if you're thinking about stepping into entrepreneurship, it's like, I got to have some savings built up. I can only do so much, but kind of that gap between going full-time and my full-time salary over here, you got to think about that for the individual too. Right.
Yeah. And most people that come to us do not have a full-time salary when they're not coming from a full-time salary job. Again, this is a very entrepreneurial environment. And so they're kind of like used to it, so to speak, and they've got other projects on the side. That's the other thing. Like, I don't care if you want to go out and like do your own, like do that. If my business can be a launch pad for other people to go and pursue their dreams, I am honored to be a part of that process. Right. I think that's amazing. But a lot of people also feel like weird about that. Like you can't go and work with, like, go and do whatever you want to, as long as you can prioritize my work and create results for my clients. I'm happy to like support you however I can. We've also brought people into like our sales process and been like, you want to know how we sell? Like, this is how we do it. So we're just like a very transparent culture in that way. And I want to support you in getting to your goal of whatever you want to do. So that's part of it, right? We also provide the most training. We've had several people tell us like, you will never go to another agency and learn more because like we give you so much responsibility. Our number one core value is radical transparency and our number two is radical responsibility. So if basically like, if we were to all leave, like you've still got to be able to own your account. And so that creates like a beautiful culture, but our level one is our part-time. So they have to manage 3 to 4 accounts to be a part-time account manager, which for a lot of people, especially if you have other projects, that actually works out great, right? So imagine you're getting all these freelancers that are like hustling, that are working on a lot of their own projects. And then you just like, you get to like invest in them and like support them inside of all of that. And so that is part, that's like our part-time level one. And then after that, you can get promoted into a level two. So level two is our full-time people. And our full-time, actually, we do offer the option of like a retainer or a salary. It is slightly less than what our like per account. So our we pay our people like $1,000 per account. Plus like there's all this like fancy other stuff that happens, like bonuses and this structure and that structure. But we would basically decrease that. So it's like $750 per account if you're full, but those are the people that we prioritize keeping full, right? So it's like for them, they make a little bit less, but they get consistency versus you could make a little bit more, but like you don't get consistency. And we've had people even that we've had inside of a retainer and their retention rates weren't there. And so we had, right, that's one of their KPIs. That's what they are responsible for creating. So we had to move them back into like a different structure because you're not hitting your KPIs or your goals, right? So it's interesting. And inside of that actually puts the responsibility on them, right? Like we are here to support you. That's what, how I see it. It's like all of our account managers are like at the top and we as leadership and owners, and we are built to support you. The entire team is here to support you in your job. What do you need in order to accomplish that? You have to take responsibility and you have to tell us. Again, I'm not concerned with you failing. Like we all fail. We all mess up. We all make mistakes. I am more concerned with how you're going to handle that, how you're going to evolve from that, how you're going to move forward. And the people that stay are the people that value the same things that we value. They value great client relationships. They value great client results. They value their own time freedom and their own sort of like their own, I guess, personal priorities. And they get to balance that with an incredibly competitive, like we work on amazing, incredible accounts that they wouldn't get a chance to work on their own. So they're getting exposure to these massive, massive projects they never would have access to. So it's right. It's both ways. And we both value the same things. So it leads to this like just really fun, really amazing culture of people that at the same time protects our profit as a business, which is the best part, I think.
I'm glad you came back there, Courtney, a little bit to the freedom to fail, because as you were talking about the test project you do in your hiring and onboarding process, one, kudos to you for actually paying for that. There are a lot of not just agencies, but employers that expect a fair amount of work in a project to kind of prove yourself in the hiring process, which I understand. But at a certain point, when you're asking for a good bit of time investment, it makes sense to compensate people for that. And I think it also takes away some of the fear of failure. If you weren't to do that and you were to just say, okay, we think you're a good fit and we're going to hire you, right? It's, you were talking a little bit earlier about on track, off track. And I can remember being a part of an agency. We ran on EOS and we used our weekly scorecard to talk about where are our rocks. Same thing. OKRs are rocks, right? Your quarterly goal, is it on track or off track? And one of the things that we struggled with sometimes was not having that transparency, that willingness to fail and say it's off track. And we're just, yeah, it's on track. Don't ask me any questions about it. Like, let's keep moving. And that's understandable. You got to work through that. But especially with someone who's brand new, they just took this job. Now they're full time. They've committed to you. You've committed to them. How much tougher is it for them to raise their hand and say, I'm struggling, or I can't figure this out, or whatever, when you just bring them on full time? The way that you guys structure things to bring people on in kind of a staggered way addresses some of that. And I think that's really cool. One of the challenges I'm thinking of is pitching people on this pay model. So you mentioned you do have a few different ways. So they can pick a little bit more stability and security, or they could pick the one that is a little bit more entrepreneurial. Say I'm a candidate and you're telling me how you guys run things at the Ad Girls and how I would get paid. What are the questions I'm asking and what are the responses that you guys are typically coming with to address some of those concerns?
Yeah, so we always break down that it's a paid training. And then after that paid training, you are paid for the time that you manage the account. And usually It's about 2 or 3 weeks between accounts. So you get an account, you onboard them, then you get another account, right? So our part-time positions start at 3 to 4 accounts. That's what we ask you to manage. And then we do a check-in and see if you want more. If you want more and you want to become full-time, then we can have a conversation about that. And if not, so this is always posted as a part-time position. This is never posted as a full-time position. And so they know that coming in. So they've already got like a different idea of what this other project is that they want to work on. Or maybe I even had somebody one time interview. We didn't end up going forward with them at the time, but they had a full-time job and they were like, I think I can manage both. And I was like, listen, that is your call. If you want to manage both, here are our requirements. And it was the communication, you know, 2-hour response time during working hours, 4-hour response time, and then meetings that they were unable to fulfill on, which makes a lot of sense, right? But it is just a very, from day one, we are transparent. This is a very transparent and honest conversation about, you know, we go through the training process and here's like the stats on that. Not everybody makes it through. What are you looking for in a position? What are the most important things to you? My interview, of course, is about technical skill, but it's also about like, do you want something that looks like this? Because there are so many people that don't, right? So some of their questions are like, how long will it take me to get there? What are your qualifications for full-time? You know, are you open to something that looks a little bit different? And like, usually my answers are, yeah, of course. Like, you know, like it's very, it just is. It's a very different structure. And so it's just explaining what it is. And typically the people that we attract by that time are like, they're good. They're solid, you know?
Yeah. And your employee retention numbers speak for themselves that is actually the case. Well, yeah. Courtney, before we get to our final two segments here on Agency Life that we always have, I just want to ask you, I had three things in mind to advise other agencies who are maybe thinking about considering this structure, mistakes they should avoid if they're thinking about it. One, you can't go here and just say it's results only with absolutely no guardrails. You have to have those broad guardrails. Number two, you need people who are entrepreneurial minded so that they can be that intrapreneur. One thing that's kind of been rolling around in my mind as we've been talking is like, you guys are like a mini startup incubator and each of your account managers are mini entrepreneurs within the agency, which I think is really cool. And then number three, you have to have a culture that matches this operational model. So those to me were the three, you know, mistakes you could make in trying to approach this model. Is there anything else you would add to that list before we round out the conversation today?
I don't think so. I think that the biggest thing is because I've been in many rooms talking about this where people, I see the faces. So if that is you on the other side of this podcast and you are like, this girl is crazy, I would say to be open-minded with the way in which you can refocus your energy into results focused, right? Like, and just witness that first. I think that speaks for itself. Like, witness the way that when you shift from these are the tasks that you have to do to these are the results that you have to create, all of a sudden, like, again, my team, the team that I've educated and the team that I've like brought up over these years, I genuinely believe at this point in time that they are smarter than I am. And the reason that that is because I taught them as much as I could about what I knew, but they kept going because they kept wanting to, if your time is your own, I want you to be efficient. They want to be efficient. So they got really hyper efficient. They changed up. Sometimes they come in and they're like, Courtney, this process doesn't work. We need to change it. And we change it because if you can do this job in 20 hours a week, beautiful, amazing, congratulations. And so they're always incentivized towards revising or like editing or innovating our processes as an agency, making my life easier, making the results better, making the clients happier. And so like, if you're the eye roller over there, see you and maybe give this a shot, give this a try and see how that shifts for you, just like even that small piece of your culture. And I think that'll like really kind of spark maybe trying the all in feet first kind of approach as well.
There we go. I love it. Well, Courtney, we're going to spend a little bit of time as we wrap up here, as we always do on Agency Life. We're going to ask you our rapid fire round, our fast five questions, and then give you the chance to give someone a shout out who has impacted your career. We've already heard a little bit about your journey, which has been fascinating. So curious to hear what you'll say there. Let's kick it off with number one of the fast five. If someone gave you and your business partner $10,000 a month to help better run your agency, no strings attached, how would you use it today?
I would probably use half of it on bonuses for my team on things that I think would incentivize them on rewarding them for all of their hard work. And then I would use the other half of it on new client acquisition. I think that we have an incredible funnel that we love, but also we've got a way that just like of creating relationships through ads that I think is really powerful. And so I would probably invest it back into those two things, our team that are delivering results, and of course, our amazing clients that are coming through the door.
I love to hear a marketing agency willing to invest in their own marketing. It is high time that we got away from just this commonality of the cobbler's kid has no shoes. So I love that. Number two on our Fast Five, Courtney, is what are some of your all-time favorite business books or resources that have helped you as an entrepreneur and an agency owner yourself?
I have a confession. I don't read a lot of business books, but I do read a lot of like mindset self-development books. And so two that I love, one is How to Do the Work, which is just about how to like show up in your life and like really take ownership over yourself. I think entrepreneurship in general is like the largest self-improvement project you'll ever take on. Like it's annoying sometimes, like my isms become my team's isms. And it's just like, it's like reflected back at you. It's like having children without having children for me. It's very interesting. So that's the first book that I just like, I love it. I would say it probably changed my life in a massive way. And the second one is called Think and Grow Rich. So it's not think, it's actually think, like thank you, think and grow rich. It's just about gratitude, right? Like I think we can get so caught up in like the day to day and like the tactics and the strategies that sometimes for me, my whole day is spent on tactics and strategies, especially digital marketing agency, right? Like that's just all it is. So having some time spent with mindset books and like self-development and self-work, like it just like pours back into my cup a little bit after like the tactical, you know?
I totally hear you there. I think a lot of agency owners listening to this who might be feeling drained on a Thursday as they're getting towards the end of the week can definitely relate to that. All right, Courtney, number three, what's one mistake you've made in running your agency that you'll never forget?
Hiring too fast. That's what we tried. We tried to do it inside of a structure that didn't work. We tried to do it really quickly. We tried to bring people on and give them a lot of accounts. Like we needed to go a little bit slower. But I am grateful for the experience because it taught me like what didn't work, right? And I think that moving forward, now that we do have this process in place, like we're bringing on, this is probably gonna, I don't know if this sounds slow to other agencies. I don't talk to as many other agencies as I should, but we bring on maybe like one person every other month. We're like pretty slow with the people that we bring on and like the people that we need to fill up. So it feels really like spacious and really good to be able to sit down and spend the time with those people and make sure that they're not lost in the abyss, which I think when you hire multiple people or like a lot of people at once, they get a little lost and then you lose them anyway, right? So slowing down for that hiring process. My business partner and I have a joke that's called, you know, everyone says slow down to speed up, but we say speed up to speed up. And that has led to a lot of fast failing, right? Like you'll fall on your face real quick doing it that way, but you also learn really quick. And I think that was one of our biggest learnings is like, how to space out those hiring processes and forced us to create an actual process around it instead of just like a, let's see what happens, you know?
And gives you more time with that new employee. In episode one of this show, we were talking with Shauna Knuckles about burnout and her health crisis as an agency owner. And she called out, it's not always just overwhelm burnout. Sometimes our employees can have neglect burnout, where they feel like they're not supported. They don't know exactly what they're supposed to do. They don't know where to go to figure that out. So what you just alluded to there can address one of those things Shauna was mentioning in that neglect burnout that our employees within the agency can feel. All right. Number four and five are my favorite of our Fast Five. So let's hit those real quick, Courtney. Number four, what's the hardest part about agency life?
Clients sometimes, I would say. You know, if I could do my job without clients sometimes, I think it would be a lot easier. But I think it's also my favorite thing about, it's like the hardest thing and also my favorite thing about what I do.
All right. Well, maybe you already answered number five. What's the best part about agency life? Are clients both sides of that same coin?
I would say clients are both sides of the same coin. I love my clients so deeply. I love being involved in their projects. I love the trust that they've given me, right? To like spend tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of their dollars. Like I am grateful for that opportunity. And sometimes like, right, the slowing down and talking and it can feel really cumbersome, but I wouldn't change it. I love working with all of my clients so deeply.
I love it. Well, as we finish up today, Courtney, we want to give you a chance to share a shout out to someone who has impacted your agency life. Who's the person you want to call out today for your career journey?
I'm going to call out my business partner. We make the joke that we're low-key married. And it's funny because when we entered into our business partnership, we literally looked at each other and we're like, it's not like we're getting married. Like, this isn't that big of a deal. Why is everyone freaking out about this? And then we realized like 2.5 years later that it was a little bit like getting married. And it's really funny. And everyone calls they call us our wives. So what's your wife think about that? Like, it's really cute. But yeah, her name is Jennifer Spivak. And she saw something in me as a fellow entrepreneur that, unless you are a fellow expert in this space, like, you, no one else has ever been able to like point out and see and witness. And beyond that, my agency was smaller than hers when we joined up. And so like, she has dedicated a lot of her time and energy into me as a human being and into me as an entrepreneur. I think I've done the same thing back, but I would not be where I am today. And I would not be the person I am today without her. So thanks, Jen.
I love that. All right. Well, Courtney, for anyone listening to this, you mentioned, you know, not having as many conversations with fellow agency owners as sometimes you might like. Let's facilitate some more of that community today. If someone listening to this has some questions for you about how they might pursue a similar path with a results-oriented culture in their agency, or just want to connect with you as a peer, what's the best way they could go about doing that?
So I have two ways that you could go about doing that. The first is always Instagram. Courtney.Tarrant. I will always be there to chat about anything.
Are you on Threads as well now? I have to ask.
I am on Threads.
Okay.
I have to admit, I'm not doing a lot over there, but I'm there. We'll see what happens. We're going to give it a shot. So I am on Threads also. And then we actually this year actually launched a mentorship program. So the adgirls.com/MDM stands for $1 million mentorship, where we go through all of our systems, all of our processes, how we start, like detailed of like, how do we create a multi-million-dollar agency that is fun to run and that actually has like an amazing team and that gives us the flexibility and the work-life balance that you're looking for whenever we first started. Cause I think so many times as agency owners, we can get caught up in the like the nitty gritty of it, that it feels like, why did I do this again? Like, why did I start? Right. And lose sight of that original vision. And so we have found an incredible, not only like lead acquisition funnel that is like amazing. It's generated, I think at this point, $7 million for us in revenue, or maybe that's total. I think for us, it's actually four. So $4 million for us, $7 million in total for us and our clients. And it's like incredible. Plus all of the systems and operations and the profit structure of how can you actually create 41% plus profit margins with a done-for-you service-based industry.
Very cool. I love to hear that. Just a few episodes back, Nicole Pereira was talking about, you know, tough times in running her agency and how much she leaned onto a small group, a community of her peers. And so I love to hear that you guys are starting yet another effort to help other agency leaders accomplish all of those things on your list, I think, are what most agency owners and entrepreneurs are looking for. So let's help each other get there together. Courtney, thank you so much for kind of opening up the curtain to allow us a peek into the way that you guys structure something very differently within your agency. I think the audience got a ton of value from it today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Agency Life. And if you made it this far, you're probably enjoying the show. If so, you can help other agency leaders find the show in about 14 more seconds. If you're listening in Apple Podcasts, you can simply scroll down till you see ratings and reviews and tap the number of stars you think the show deserves. We'll really appreciate it, and so will the other agency leaders who find the show based on your rating. And if you're looking for even more content to support your agency life journey, check out teamwork.com/agency life. There you can search through past episodes, get access to the Agency Life newsletter, and find additional video content to support and inspire you as you continue on this crazy roller coaster ride that is agency life.